Welcome to another edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. I'm GoPowerCat publisher Tim Fitzgerald, and for the second straight week, I'm just doing the front and end of these things as another member of our staff actually has the conversation. Because when you're talking to the new director of recruiting for Kansas State football, you probably want to have your recruiting editor do the interview. And that's exactly what Cole Carmody did a week ago or so, as he sat down with Greg Schwarzkopf, the new director of recruiting, to discuss all things recruiting, except for the fact that he can't discuss any players. That's against NCAA rules. Yes, there are some. And so this conversation covers a lot of generalities, but it also gets into some really interesting stuff about relocating about, what, an hour down the road? A little more than that, hour 20? Because he came from the University of Kansas, where he was doing a great job as director of recruiting for Lance Leipold. But he has connections to this K-State staff, as you'll find out, and they went after him hard and brought him in. And now he works under Taylor Bratt, who will be next week's guest with me. But now let's go to wherever they're at. I think Coach Schwarzkopf is at the Vanier Football Complex, and Cole is at his home studio. It's a great conversation. Sit back and listen as Cole Carmody talks to new director of recruiting, Greg Schwarzkopf.
Coach, first off, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you guys are in the middle of probably the busiest portion of the schedule from a recruiting standpoint, so really appreciate you taking some time to chat today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Let's just start there before we kind of dig into your background, and I'm sure people want to hear your story. It is a fascinating one. But right now, in the middle of official visit season, official visits in 2026 versus what official visits looked like in 2016, 10 years ago. I can only imagine the differences, but we'll start there. What do you think is the biggest difference between what you're doing right now versus what you did 10 years ago?
Yeah, great question. I would say one of the biggest things is how quickly the recruiting process has sped up throughout the years. I remember 10 years ago, you know, you were doing a lot of your official visits, later on, and you had a lot less commitments about this time of year. A lot of it was done in December. And now the whole process is expedited so quickly. There's so many people that are jumping in and committing places and making their college decisions, even before the summer. A lot of times going into their senior year. So it's been fun. I think when you do that, it just makes, your job a little bit more around the clock, and you mm-hmm. just have to be relentless in pursuing great players.
Well, you talk about your job. I think that maybe is something that fans who are watching this, maybe who aren't familiar, sure, we've talked to a lot of the coaches so far, the new staff, the offensive line coach, receivers coach, quarterbacks coach. That's an easy job to kind of grasp and understand. But if you were to explain your job, what your role is inside of the Vanier Complex to someone who might not know, in layman's terms, how would you describe it is what you do?
I'm heavily involved with the recruiting process with high school prospects, and in with today's landscape, I'll be involved with really all of it. And it's an all hands on deck approach here at K-State, where we all kind of dip our toes into every single aspect, whether it's portal, whether it's junior college, whether it's high school. We have a great staff here. Coach Klein's done an incredible job with all the assistant coaches that you've just mentioned. Trey Scott's an incredible GM, and probably I've joked around and called him the most overqualified college GM and out there, with his NFL background of 11 years, and then being on the other end of it as an agent. And you know, there's a lot of other great staff members here. Taylor Bratt, who's done an incredible job here for 20 plus years. Hank Jacobs is a great staff member that does a great job evaluating and recruiting. Adrian Manning is one of our new hires that's been really solid and done a great job coming from Grambling. Preston Ellsworth, brother Christian Ellsworth, is excellent. He's done a really great job and brought a lot of things with him from South Carolina. And Zach Cox as well, who's been here and been a staple. Just a really great, hardworking group. So really, a lot of my job is kind of overseeing the structure and organization of it, helping identify prospects, helping with travel, helping around really just any way that I can, because there's such a great staff already in place among all of us to try to just be a part of helping find great players.
You've been doing this for a while too. This isn't the first time you've had this role. Mentioned it at the top, spent some time at Kansas as I went and looked at your bio. Also spent some time at New Mexico with Jordan Peterson, who's the defensive coordinator now, obviously. But really, I guess, when did you really start doing this whole recruiting thing? When did you kind of know this was something you wanted to do? You and I are very similar in the sense that we both have our secondary education degrees, but a lot of the times teachers make good coaches. And when did you kind of realize that, all right, this is going to be something, not even just the recruiting side of things, but the coaching side of things, this is going to be something I want to keep doing?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It was something that I was not really interested in when I first got into it. I really wanted to coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I idolized my dad, who coached for 40 years and retired. He was my high school coach. And originally my plan was to get it right into coaching, which is what I did, and coached at some NAI schools, some D3 schools, and then kind of worked my way up throughout the process. And as you mentioned, went back to Indiana, Kent State as a graduate assistant, then the University of New Mexico. And it was one of those things where the job became available at the University of New Mexico. And without really applying for it, I was kind of recommended for it by a lot of the coaches. And, you know, it wasn't something that I really had considered up until that point. But I was pretty involved as a graduate assistant in recruiting a lot of those guys. And I think that for that reason, a lot of people kind of saw my work ethic and thought that I could give it a try. So I was lucky enough to be promoted at that time. And then I went from there to Army to KU, KU to here. And it's been an incredible journey. I've met a lot of great people. Like you said, Jordan Peterson's one of the best I've ever been around. Really high character person, really highly energetic. Just a great recruiter all around. So this is my third time actually working with him. I've really enjoyed it.
You mentioned there's a few things that you touched on I want to go back to. We'll start there with Indiana. First of all, being an alum, I know you work in college football, so obviously your allegiances are with the school that employs you and pays your bills. But getting a chance to kind of see how Indiana built their program this past year, obviously, you know, being an alum had to make you at least a little bit proud to see what they were able to accomplish. But what was it like when you spent time there, and just how cool was it to see them make their run through the college football playoff this last year?
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch them, and it's just great for the sport. You know, it's great for college football altogether to see what they've done. You know, for me personally, you know, I was able to walk on there and I joke around and say that play is a strong word. It's not that I got a lot of playing time, but it was fun to be able to have a role within the team and to be able to graduate from there and be a part of something that was bigger than myself. And then being able to go back there, I actually volunteered in 2015, worked with the secondary there. And, you know, a lot of those staff members kind of stayed there throughout the years. And some of the current staff members that are there were actually graduate assistants during my time there, and including Brian LePack, who I'm now working with. So it's fun getting to work with him again. But a lot of really great people have come through there. And it was really big for me to have the coaching background, I think, within my role, because before I got into recruiting, I was able to be a graduate assistant with the offensive line and get a good feel for them. But before that, I worked with all 11 positions on the defense. So I think that's really helped me from the evaluation side of things to be able to be on both sides of the ball, coach a lot of different positions, kind of know really what to look for.
Yeah, I think that's something that young coaches definitely need to keep in mind is, you know, you don't just want to hone in on one specific group. I think that's true with amongst all sports as well. But you talk about Army. Tell me about the challenges that it takes at recruiting at an academy level. We had a chance to talk to Nick Toth Fitzted on this podcast, and he talked about the challenges that it was like at Air Force. I would imagine that those challenges and or maybe you want to say opportunities really do exist at all academies across college football.
Yeah. You know, to state the obvious, you're recruiting a really unique and special person when you're recruiting someone to the academy. So because of that, just the hurdles of even being able to get someone into school and making sure that they can qualify to be a commissionable officer, you're doing medical background checks on the kids as well throughout the process. So I think one thing that really helped me out in my career was just the attention to detail and the thoroughness that comes with you know, recruiting, but also evaluating an extremely high volume of players. And a lot of times finding some good players that may not have as many offers, you know, at some other places. So they've had a lot of success there, and I've learned a lot from Coach Munkin. And I think all of those things throughout the recruiting process is learning the mental makeup of the kid in a very fast you know, time period during that recruitment process was something that was really important there. That's really stuck with me throughout the whole process because, you know, it's really easy to evaluate film. It's not as easy to, you know, get in touch with the high school coaches to figure out what type of leader they are, what type of work ethic they have, to learn the kid and who they are and what they're about. Do they really love football? Those are all things that carry over universally, no matter whether you're at West Point or whether you're in Manhattan, Kansas. So it was extremely beneficial for me there.
It always is something as I kind of look through this doing the job that I do, and you see a kid has an offer from Air Force, they have an offer from Army. I'm kind of curious from your standpoint, does that tell you a little something about the kid? I mean, you obviously have experienced that. So when you're recruiting the kid and you see those academies have offered, you know all the hurdles that they have to jump through just to extend an offer. That might tell you a little bit about a prospect like that.
You're exactly right. It means that they did their homework. They did their background. They've done a full evaluation of who they are as a person. And then to state the obvious, it means that they're a great student on top of that. So a lot of those offers do carry a lot of weight.
What do you look for, I guess, in the off the field stuff? Because I think, as you mentioned, it's really easy to look at tape and say, this kid can play at a power four level. This kid can play, you know, in the NFL one day. But what do you look for? What are some of those intangibles that you look for that we might not see on film?
Yeah, to state the obvious, you're looking for work ethic. You're looking for whether or not the kid really loves football. You know, and those are just simple questions when you're getting to know the kid, how competitive they are, just learning a little bit about their mental makeup, what type of habits do they have, how do they take care of their bodies, how do they you know, what type of hours are they putting into it? Are they a guy that kind of shows up and it's natural for them, or are they guys that are continuously building good habits that are going to carry over when they're here in college? Because at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of really great players that can just show up and be the best player on their team at the high school level, but the guys that really last a long time and end up being great players at the collegiate level, those are the guys that truly care about the small details and the things that are you know, gonna stick with them throughout their time here, because there's so much put on their plate when they do step in the world of college football. It's around the clock for them. They're constantly working out. They're constantly having to have great nutrition, great sleep habits, all those things.
It's one of those things too, where, you know, I think sometimes it's easy for fans to look at, oh, this kid's coming from a 1A high school, a 2A high school, a 3A high school in Kansas versus this kid's coming from one of the biggest high schools in Texas. It's very easy to think, oh, this kid's going to be more ready to play than, you know, the kid coming from, you know, out Western Kansas. The balancing between trying to figure out what you have with a kid from a smaller school versus trying to figure out what you have with a kid from a bigger school, I can imagine that in itself is a process and a challenge that's why you guys get paid the big bucks, because that just seems like not something that's easy for the average person to do.
Yeah, it definitely carries weight. You know, there is a lot to what you're saying. There are some guys that do come from eight-man football and they're playing three or four positions. There's guys that are at Texas, you know, powerhouses that are playing one position. Sometimes you can look at it two ways. One is the development could be a lot better at the place that they're at. But the second way you could look at it is, man, this guy has some really untapped potential at this smaller school or at this other place. And you can look at, really, I think at the end of the day, our job a lot of times is not necessarily looking at what they can do or where they're at right now, but what can you make them into? What can they be for you? And could they end up being, where's their ceiling at? What are the redeeming qualities that you're looking for?
I feel like today, one of the things that gets lost in the shuffle with a lot of high school kids is the multi-sport athlete. And I can imagine that's something you guys look for. I know we hear coaches all the time say they look for, you know, ways to compete in the off season, even if it's not doing track, if it's not wrestling, it's doing something else. If you do see those kids who are multi-sport athletes, like we see a lot of the times with Kansas prospects, how much does that weigh kind of on your plate? Because I feel like as someone who's, you know, works in a high school and works with high school athletes, the kids who are your multi-sport athletes tend to be your best athletes.
Yeah, no question. I think a lot of times it's exactly what you're saying, where even if they didn't grow up playing the sport, maybe one of the coaches recruited them to go play that sport for them because of what an athlete they are. So I think it always helps. It's something that we definitely look for if possible. And I think, you know, my messaging to recruits in general is when you're doing those things, you're helping yourself get evaluated in more than one facet, and you're putting measurable, quantifiable data that we can then look at and evaluate. You know, it's not the NFL where we can put you through a combine, but when you have verified track measurements, that can help your case a lot of times. But to your point, Cole, you're looking for guys that want to compete and want to win in everything that they do. And that's a huge, huge part of it for sure.
It's that time of the year too, where I can imagine, you know, track times and even baseball, you want to look at that, the way a kid moves. That has to be something that you guys look at amongst all of the classes. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. You talked about your background with Jordan Peterson, and you mentioned Taylor Bratt. What is it like working with Taylor? Because obviously you guys went head to head on the recruiting trail for many prospects over the last few years. Now you get a chance to work with him. I think we all know what kind of person he is, but I'd be interested to hear you kind of talk about him as the recruiter and maybe just how he's been able to do what he's done for the last two decades.
Yeah, I mean, you said it's 1,000 times better working for him than it is against him. And he just has a very captivating personality. He's a genuinely great person that cares about people, that cares about relationships. So he's done it for such a long time. He's built so many strong connections within the state, you know, within this whole area. And he's just been a huge asset for me to learn from and to work with. And it's been a blast. I can't say enough great things about Taylor. He does an excellent job reaching out to high school coaches and staying in touch with them, getting on the, you know, talented guys early, identifying them early, getting those names for us to evaluate and to look at. And to that, as going back to what we were talking about earlier, is how sped up that process is. He's done an excellent job, you know, helping get some of the younger recruits to come visit campus and thinking two or three steps ahead while, you know, a lot of the staff and the coaches might be really focused on the class of 2027. So yeah, he's been invaluable and been a blast to work with.
I have a feeling you're going to say the same thing about your other boss, and that's Colin Klein. I can imagine that when Colin Klein called you and you guys talked about this opportunity, it didn't take long for you to answer. I've heard you say as much, but what is it about Colin Klein that makes working for him special and gives you the energy every day to get up and put in those long hours? It seems like, just from the outside looking in, that every coach we've had a chance to talk to, they just continuously rave not only about the person that Colin is, but also about the work ethic that he has as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's hard to pick just one thing that's great about him. First of all, he's an extremely high character person. He's one of the best people that I've ever met as a human being. Second, he's extremely, extremely competitive in everything that he does. That has never changed about him as a person from the time that he was a player all the way up until now. And three, the guy doesn't miss anything. He's one of the most detail-oriented people that I've ever been around. There's every single detail he thinks through, he sees and he touches within the program. So he's one of the most impressive people that I've ever been around. If you didn't know that this was his first time being a head coach, you would be, you know, completely shocked to learn that, because he comes off as a person that's been doing this for 20 years in the lens that he looks at and looks through. He's one of the most impressive people I've ever been around, for sure.
And specifically from the recruiting side, I mean, things do look a little bit different. You know, that's easy for someone who's been paying attention to follow. What would you say the biggest difference is? Obviously, you weren't at K-State last year, but maybe just as a whole, and I think the University of Kansas and K-State have kind of operated similarly in the past. Maybe what is a few things differently that you guys have really kind of tried to pinpoint to do a little bit differently than maybe some other places you've been or some other staffs at K-State in the past? What do you think are some differences with how you guys are operating?
Well, going back to, you know, earlier of what I was saying about Coach Klein hiring a phenomenal staff, this is an extremely hardworking, relentless staff. A lot of these guys have been in a lot of different places, but a lot of them have also been here before, mm-hmm. and they're just recruiting at such a high level. They're really attacking it head on, even though we got a little bit of a late jump to it. You know, you hope when you fast forward a year from now, when you're recruiting the 28s, that these guys will have been here in the spring. These guys will have been here to, you know, unofficially visit in the summer. They'll come out to a game. They'll come out to a junior day in January. You go out and see them in the school a couple times between then and you know, all those different touch points that you have. You're stacking up five or six touch points that you've had with these guys. You feel really good about where you're at. And just due to the nature of when we got here, we didn't have as much time spent recruiting these 2027s. But having said that, with how hard the staff has worked at it, you know, from the top down, our head coach, the coordinators, position coaches, and recruiting staff, we've made up a lot of lost ground in a really short time period. It's been really, really fun to be a part of.
Take me back to that time that you were hired, because you're hired right in the middle of the transfer portal chaos, trying to figure out who's going to be on the roster, trying to figure out who's going to come back, trying to figure out who you want to target in the transfer portal. And oh yeah, after you sign your transfer portal class, you immediately get into spring football. And with that comes spring visits, and boom, you're off and running. Just kind of how did you balance the transfer portal? How did you balance, you know, 27 and even throw in 28 prospects? It just feels like these last few months, I can only imagine what it's been like for you, but it feels like it's been kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Because of when I got here, there was already a great structure in place between Trey and the other recruiting staff members. So my involvement wasn't nearly as high as what it would have normally been within the transfer portal. Those guys knocked it out of the park. They did an incredible job. I tried to help out a little bit as needed, but it was really them kind of taking that portal class. And kind of like I was saying before, the position coaches were extremely heavily involved in that, both in the identification process and in the recruiting part of it. So K-State knocked it out of the park, and I was really more learning than I was helping probably at that point. And the coaches really went straight from that into spring ball, getting 27s to come visit. That's really what I tried to get a little bit ahead on those things, and then also the spring travel aspect of it. So now at this point, these coaches have had these kids come visit campus. They've gone out and seen them in the spring, and now they're coming here for official visits. So it's definitely been a little bit of a blur. It's never ending, one thing onto the next, but it's been a blast. The staff does such a great job here. It's been really cool to be a part of.
I know that obviously you are in the recruiting side, but everybody has to get excited when the fall starts to roll around, because that means you actually get to play football games. How excited are you from a personal standpoint to be able to wear that purple and walk out onto the field and see, you know, what you would expect to see? Tons of recruits on official visits. The stadium starts to fill up. Colin Klein runs through the tunnel. Just when you think about that, how excited are you just for that environment and to finally be able to say that you are on the right side of the state of Kansas?
It's going to be really fun. You know, having had to compete against Kansas State for as long as I have, you know, just the tradition that's been here, the amount of bowl seasons, winning seasons that they've had here, the sellout crowds, the great players that have come through here, the Big 12 championships. It's something that I'm humbled and honored to be a part of, because I know, you know, having Coach Klein here at his alma mater, he's only going to hire great people to be a part of this because of how personal it is to him. So it's definitely an honor for me to be here, and something that I don't take lightly at all. And it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to see the sellout crowds and be a part of the traditions that are here. It's really one of the more unique places, one of the best fan bases in all of college football. It's a really special place.
Before we kind of wrap up, I've got a few housekeeping questions I want to talk about, because it just, again, we talk about a crazy time in college football. It is. This proposed new 5-for-5 rule with the NCAA is put in place, where you get 5 years, 4 or 5 years, obviously, to play. Have you guys kind of started to think about what that might look like? Have you talked about that as a staff? Do you talk about that with kids? I'm just kind of curious how schools are approaching this, because take a guy like Avery Johnson, for example. If this passes in June, which it sure feels like it will, it's another guy who, if he wants to come back for a fifth year, would have that opportunity. Does that kind of factor into what a potential recruiting board would look like down the road?
I think it always does. I think, you know, even before the 5-for-5, the roster is so fluid at all times. You know, I think it's one of those things where you go out and you recruit the best players available from a high school standpoint, and you kind of figure out the details as they go later on, and just kind of attack it head on. But it's definitely a factor that, you know, I think everybody's going to have to manage, and the rules are just so fluid and change so often. I don't think the day-to-day approaches change significantly.
Well, you talk about being a walk-on at Indiana. I mean, the days of being a walk-on, those days seem to be going by the wayside. Believe there was only a handful of guys that you guys signed in this most recent class that you would even consider a walk-on. But with that, I mean, I'm kind of curious your take on that, being a former walk-on, working on the recruiting side of things. The roster sizes are smaller. It seems like it's going to put a lot more pressure on some of these kids to A, not get hurt, which how do you control that? You can't. And B, it puts more pressure on the coaching staff to, hey, we got to make sure that we're bringing in the right guys, because now those guys who are going to stay for 4 years and try to develop, seemingly, well, they have to play, because we know what happens if kids don't play. They might try and go to greener pastures. So just kind of curious your take on the roster size and really the days of the walk-on typically seeming like they're a dying breed.
Yeah, you know, there's a ton of truth in what you're saying. I think now more than ever, you have to not miss, exactly like you're saying, on the guys that you do take. And I think it's one of those things where, again, that's where our recruiting department needs to do a great job of the both the evaluation side, the retention side of things are more difficult. And, you know, you're always looking for the next guy that can come in and help. So it's really a never ending process.
And I can only imagine that you talk about never ending. We've talked about it. That cycle just keeps on going and going and going. The last thing, I've got a few fun ones for you. You've talked about Jordan Peterson. You've talked about Taylor Bratt. Everybody on social media has seen those two guys in the kitchen with the meme of them cooking. Yeah. What are those two guys like in a room together? I can only imagine it's chaos.
It's a blast. Two great people, high energy, hilarious, great people to be around. And the whole staff is like that. You know, it's been, this is the most fun I've ever had around great people and guys that care and work really hard. It's makes going to work every day really fun, being surrounded by those guys. But they're both a blast.
Who is there anyone who you would consider funnier than the other?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I would say Taylor might come in a little bit more off the wall sometimes, say some things that you're not expecting. He's probably got a few more good stories than Jordan has, but Jordan's pretty quick, so that's a good question.
We'll have to keep that. Maybe that's a TBD. We'll check back in on that one. Yep. Really, the last thing I've got for you, Greg, Manhattan, tell me your initial impressions of the town. I know you've been here for a while now. Just how are you adjusting to life in the Little Apple? And have you been to Taco Lucci yet? That's always a mandatory question that I have to ask people.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a great college town. It's really cool to see purple everywhere you go. It's one of the more unique places, and it's been really cool to live here and see it. Now that I've recruited against it, now I get it. Now I know why it's so much fun being here. And you know, Aggieville is awesome, and Taco Lucci is a great spot, man.
Yeah, Taco Lucci is so long, Saloon. I need to go back. I haven't been there in too long. It's been a while. Yeah. So I have to get back down to this summer. Greg, really appreciate you taking some time out of your very busy schedule. Good luck with your official visits as they continue to happen as the people are watching this, and have a fantastic rest of your summer. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Cole. Appreciate everything you do for us. You guys do a great job covering us. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you so much, Greg.
I told you it was good. I enjoyed that a lot. I sat in the background when they were recording and listened to it, and it's a really interesting guy. He's a steady, steady person. And that's really a great balance for being with Taylor Bratt, who is, well, you know, Taylor, if you're a K-State fan, he's a little all over the place sometimes, but still a 100% K-Stater. And Greg is now the steady hand at the wheel, overseeing the day-to-day process of the recruiting. Taylor's the big picture guy. And those two personalities seem to be working really well. He mentioned it in this conversation about how hard this coaching staff is getting after it on the recruiting trail. And that's what they're doing in all aspects of Kansas State football. How that manifests itself with the season coming up and future seasons with recruiting involved, we'll find out. But for now, I think K-State football recruiting is in really good hands with Greg Schwarzkopf. That's it for this edition of Fighting Ever Fighting. I'll be back next week, as I mentioned in the open, with Taylor Bratt to have a conversation about a lot of stuff beyond Kansas State football, because Taylor is one interesting cat. Thanks for watching, everybody. I will talk to you real soon.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.